Welcome to the Deep Dive, the place where we take complex source material, filter out the noise, and really extract the precise, actionable knowledge you need. You shared an incredibly insightful stack of sources with us today, and it charts one of the most, significant regional economic shifts happening right now in the UK.
That's absolutely right. Our mission today is to dive into the technological revolution that's just sweeping through the West Midlands. We are talking about the rise of what some are calling the Silicon Canal.
The Silicon Canal.
Mm-hmm. We're tracking massive investment in Industry 4.0, and that's, you know, artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, or IoT, and these highly autonomous manufacturing systems. All of this is happening in the historic industrial heartlands. We're talking Birmingham, the Black Country, Coventry.
And what's so crucial here, and what the sources really highlight, is that this isn't just a story about shiny new robots. Mm. This digital leap, as swift and profound as it is, is creating an entirely new, I'd almost say a precarious landscape of data privacy and AI governance challenges.
Yes. Yeah. Right inside the modern smart factory.
Exactly. So if you're involved in manufacturing or supply chain or even regulation, this is your new baseline.
It is. The transformation is completely redefining competitive advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, we're moving way beyond simple compliance checklists now. Our sources make it crystal clear that the most pressing question for these firms is no longer if data protection is important.
It's a given.
It's a given. The question is how robust and really how integrated those privacy frameworks must be to secure market access and maintain those high-value supply chain relationships.
So we have a pretty comprehensive deep dive ahead of us. We're going to cover the technological promise, the what do you call the legal crucible, forged by three major legislative forces. And that includes acts taking effect in 2025 and 2026.
And then we'll get into the immense practical challenge of bridging the gap between the factory floor systems and the corporate network, that ITOT divide.
This deep dive is really designed to be the shortcut. We're going to extract the most critical nuggets about these complex regulatory pressures, the operational changes, and what West Midlands manufacturers really need to address, well, right now, to ensure their survival and growth in this hyper-digital era. Okay, let's unpack this dual transformation you mentioned. Because on one side, you have this almost gravitational pull toward ultimate efficiency, the Industry 4.0 dream. What does this technological promise actually look like on the factory floor?
It looks like unprecedented optimization. I mean, when manufacturers make this technological leap, they aren't just gaining, you know, small incremental improvements. They are fundamentally restructuring their entire operation.
So it's not just a faster machine.
Not at all. Think about something like predictive maintenance. Instead of running a machine until it breaks or, you know, adhering to a really rigid, costly maintenance schedule, you have sensors and AI. They're analyzing vibration, temperature, current draw, all in real time.
So the machine itself tells you what it needs.
The machine tells you it needs a new bearing before it fails. And that alone can save millions in unscheduled downtime. It's a game changer.
And I imagine the benefits extend far beyond just that single machine, right? It must touch the entire global supply chain.
Absolutely. We see optimization in these incredibly complex supply chains where automated systems use real-time data to adjust production schedules. Maybe it's based on component availability or shifting logistics. And perhaps most significantly, the reduction in human error through very sophisticated automation.
Which leads to higher quality.
Higher quality, fewer defects, and a profound shift in what you need from your labor force.
The ultimate expression of that shift, which is cited all across our source material, is this concept of the lights out factory.
Yeah, the lights out factory. It's a powerful, maybe even a slightly dystopian metaphor, isn't it? It describes a facility that is so comprehensively automated, so driven by integrated AI and autonomous systems, that human intervention and therefore human presence is minimal.
So the lights theoretically could just stay off.
They could remain off 247. It signals this move toward total process optimization. But, and this is the big friction point, that total optimization generates an astronomical volume of granular data. We're talking data on every vibration, every temperature fluctuation, every single movement, and every throughput metric. This data torrent is where the regulatory pressure and the primary security risks really emerge.
Okay, so that's the pivot. We move from the promise of efficiency to the practical and sometimes harsh reality of risk management. For the manufacturers in the West Midlands, a region that is just defined by precision and supply chain excellence, the strategic stakes for mastering data governance are, well, they're absolutely crucial for survival. for growth.
They are. This isn't abstract compliance anymore. It is the new gatekeeper to getting major contracts.
So that's the critical insight. You're saying for firms operating in the Black Country, serving tier one partners like, say, JLR, JCB, Rolls-Royce, or the big aerospace integrators, data governance has become the new entry ticket.
It is the new gatekeeper status, 100%.
Let's get really specific on that. Are you saying manufacturers aren't just being audited on the quality of the component they deliver anymore? You know, the old ISO 9001 standard for quality.
That is no longer sufficient. It's just the baseline. Major partners are now conducting incredibly granular audits across their entire supply chain, and they are scrutinizing two key elements beyond product quality. Data security maturity, often benchmarked against standards like ISO 27001, and very significantly, their AI ethics maturity.
AI ethics maturity. That sounds important, but also a bit subjective.
You'd think so, but they found ways to quantify it. If you want to remain an eligible supplier for a major original equipment manufacturer, an OEM, you have to demonstrate a robust, documented privacy framework. And that framework must cover everything, both your corporate information technology, the IT side, and your factory floor operational technology, the OT side.
That is a profound shift in procurement. So how does a manufacturer actually prove this AI ethics maturity to, say, JLR? Are the sources clear on that?
They are very clear on the evidence required. It moves way beyond just good intentions and into hard documentation. To prove AI ethics maturity, the OEM audit requires evidence that the manufacturer has identified all their high-risk AI systems, and we'll dive into that definition later.
Okay.
And crucially, that they have conducted fundamental rights impact assessments, or FRIAs. They want to see verifiable data provenance logs, proof that the data used to train the predictive maintenance or quality control models is unbiased and completely traceable.
So it's about showing your work.
It's all about showing your work. And this is the difference between retaining a contract worth hundreds of millions and being put on a remediation list, or worse, being dropped.
The cost of noncompliance is rapidly becoming the cost of market exclusion. And I guess this links directly to the second major strategic stake you mentioned, protecting industrial intellectual property, or IP.
Precisely. I mean, when your entire production process is digitized, your proprietary process optimization algorithms, the specific data streams that define your efficiencies, that information becomes an extraordinarily high-value target for industrial espionage. We've seen a clear shift in targeting from, you know, the traditional CAD files to the actual operational data itself.
And our sources specifically call out digital twin schematics as these new high-value targets. Why is the security of this virtual replica so critical? What's the potential cost if it's compromised?
The digital twin is the crown jewel of the smart factory. As we said, it's a virtual replica of a physical asset, maybe an entire assembly line, built on continuous real-time data. It's used to run millions of simulations to optimize performance and predict failure.
So if someone steals it.
If industrial espionage compromises this schematic, they aren't just stealing a static blueprint. They are stealing your perfected, optimized, and dynamically learned production methodology. The average cost of a compromised digital twin schematic is estimated to be in the tens of millions of pounds. And that's not just an R&D loss, but in the loss of your proprietary market lead. Securing this simulated environment is paramount because, as we'll discuss later, its corruption can lead directly to physical sabotage.
And finally, there's the strategic imperative of enabling global market access, which I assume links directly to compliance with these major extraterritorial laws.
It's completely unavoidable. If a West Midlands manufacturer is exporting innovative products, especially to the immense EU market, or engaging in services with Asian partners, compliance is not best practice. It is the absolute prerequisite for getting into those markets. For instance, failure to comply with certain EU regulations, like the upcoming EU AI Act. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just risk a fine. It means the product, if it's deemed high risk, cannot be legally placed on the European market. Full stop. That's a potentially existential threat for many of these ambitious firms in the Silicon Canal ecosystem. This regulatory environment is dynamic, it's high stakes, and it defines whether a business can truly go global.
So we have the immense promise of the technology and the monumental stakes for the business. Now we need to turn to the forces that are governing this intersection. Our sources highlight three major legislative forces that are creating what they call this regulatory crucible.
A crucible is a good word for it. It's demanding unprecedented levels of data transparency, security by design, and ethical AI deployment. And the impact starts right now, but it's really going to accelerate through 2026.
Right. And this crucible is what's shaping the definition of a compliant, a resilient smart factory. These three acts, the UK Data Act 2025, the PSTI Act, and the EU AI Act, are setting the new baseline for trust and security.
Exactly, particularly for all these new connected devices and automated systems.
And the challenge, as we're about to see, is that they don't operate in isolation. They intersect in really complex ways, demanding that manufacturers take a unified, holistic approach to governance, particularly where those office IT networks and the factory OT networks converge. We really need to look at each one in depth.
Okay, let's delve into the specifics. And let's start with the legislation that's aimed at defining how UK firms can use, share, and access data domestically.
Right, so we're starting with the UK Data Use and Access Act 2025, or DUAA. The sources cite this as landmark legislation. It's designed to simplify data sharing and promote innovation, right?
That's the big picture, yes. The opportunity side of the coin is trying to help manufacturers actually leverage those vast data sets being generated by Industry 4.0 for things like AI training and optimization. So it's there to accelerate the adoption of new tech.
But there's always a but.
There's always a but. With that opportunity comes much tighter controls and specific reforms in areas that have, historically, been big compliance bottlenecks, particularly around automated decision-making and, critically for the factory environment, data subject access requests, or DSARs.
Okay, let's start with automated decision-making, ADM. Under the DUAA, how is the regulation of algorithms that make decisions about people or processes being tightened?
The DUAA introduces stricter rules to ensure transparency and fairness. So if any system, and this could be an HR model making recruitment decisions, a planning algorithm deciding shift allocations, or even an automated quality control system that rejects components.
If it makes a decision without a person.
Without meaningful human intervention, yes, it falls under increased scrutiny. Manufacturers now must be able to explain how that decision was reached and guarantee the right for someone to contest it. This is a massive governance lift. It requires meticulous documentation of the ADM model's logic, its training data, everything.
Okay, and then we get to the reform of DSARs. Now, historically, under UK GDPR, DSARs have been a massive administrative headache, requiring this exhaustive search for every little scrap of a data subject's personal information.
This is perhaps the single most beneficial nuance the DUAA introduces for manufacturers who are dealing with industrial-scale data volumes. It shifts the DSAR standard from that overwhelming, exhaustive search to a much more manageable, reasonable, and proportionate one.
Okay, that sounds like a technical legal change, but what does it mean practically? For the compliance officer running a facility in the Black Country who's just drowning in sensor data, let's paint a scenario.
It's a great way to think about it. So imagine a scenario. A former employee submits a DSAR. They request all of their personal data. Under the old exhaustive standard, the manufacturer would potentially have to trawl through petabytes of industrial data.
Petabytes, wow. Yeah.
Yes. And this includes things like the biometric log that records every time they clock in, the CCTV footage of their entire working shift, the machine performance data tied to their specific login for every machine they operated, and potentially even telemetry data showing their physical location on the factory floor captured by asset trackers.
Trawling through that volume of unstructured or, you know, semi-structured data from all these different OT systems, it sounds almost impossible.
It often was. The compliance cost of retrieving, then reviewing, then redacting all that data was frequently just completely disproportionate to the actual value or benefit of the request to the data subject. It could easily cripple a compliance budget. So the DUAA's reasonable and proportionate test recognizes this industrial reality.
So the new test allows for pragmatism. How does a firm legally apply this reasonable and proportionate test to, say, years of CCTV data?
It allows the manufacturer to assess the volume, the complexity, and the cost of retrieval against the nature of the request. They still have to fulfill the request, let's be clear. But they are no longer legally mandated to perform an exhaustive, incredibly costly forensic deep dive into every obscure OT log file.
So they can push back a little.
They can legally argue that searching every single frame of CCTV footage from 2020, where the individual just appears in the background of a busy production environment, is disproportionate. This frees up resources to focus on the essential structured data, like HR records and specific relevant logs. It's a vital recognition that industrial data streams operating at this scale, they demand different compliance methodologies than, say, traditional office data.
Okay, that makes sense. So if the DUAA governs the data once it's created, the next major piece of legislation, the PSTI Act, ensures the devices creating and transmitting that data are secure right out of the box. We need to talk about security by design.
This act is arguably the most immediate and tangible requirement for any West Midlands manufacturer that's producing internet-connected devices. Its scope is vast. It covers everything from a smart thermostat to sophisticated industrial routers, smart sensors, automated industrial robots. It dictates that security must be an intrinsic, non-optional legal requirement before the product ever leaves the factory door.
And what are the core, the non-negotiable legal mandates that manufacturers have to meet under the PSTI Act?
There are three foundational requirements that every manufacturer must implement. First, and this addresses a massive historical vulnerability, is the absolute necessity of eliminating default passwords. For decades, factory equipment, smart cameras, PLCs, the programmable logic controllers that run the machines, they often shipped with simple, known, hard-coded credentials.
Like admin 123 or just password.
Exactly. That practice is now illegal for connected devices sold in the UK.
A simple change with enormous security implications, considering those known credentials, are the very first vector attackers try. What's the second mandate?
Second, manufacturers must provide clear vulnerability reporting channels. So, if a security researcher or a supplier or even a customer discovers a flaw in the device's firmware or its operation, there has to be a straightforward, public, and clear mechanism for them to report that vulnerability to the manufacturer so it can be patched quickly. This shifts the burden of responsibility onto the producer to maintain product security over its entire lifespan.
And the third point links back to the technical essence of security by design.
It's the requirement that products are secure by default. And this goes deeper than just the password. It mandates specific design choices, implementing secure boot processes, ensuring that firmware updates are authenticated and tamper-proof, and guaranteeing that sensitive credential storage is encrypted at rest. Security isn't an optional configuration step the customer needs to take. The device must ship in its most secure, hardened state.
So it's about eliminating those common attack vectors right out of the box.
Precisely.
This dramatically affects technical specifications and development pipelines. Failure to comply with the PSTI Act has immense implications, not just for fines, but for the manufacturer's product liability. It effectively makes the product non-compliant for sale within the UK market.
And that's why this is such a huge focus point for the Silicon Canal firms. They aren't just building components anymore. They are increasingly building the intelligent, connected infrastructure that powers the rest of the world. Their adherence to PSTI is really a mark of national technological integrity.
Now we have to address the most globally significant and arguably the most complex piece of regulation, the EU AI Act. This has a massive extraterritorial reach, which means West Midlands manufacturers cannot ignore it even post-Brexit.
This is a vital planning point. The EU AI Act is defining global standards. And if a manufacturer based in Birmingham exports any AI-driven product or service to the EU, or if they deploy what are called high-risk AI systems that process data of EU citizens, for example, in a factory they own in Germany or France, they must comply. And the clock is ticking toward a critical milestone, August 2nd, 2026.
Okay, let's clarify what high-risk AI systems actually means, especially within the context of a manufacturing facility where the AI isn't necessarily interacting with consumers.
The Act uses a categorized risk-based approach. In manufacturing, the high-risk threshold is hit primarily when the AI system could significantly impact the life, safety, or fundamental rights of a person. So examples include AI used in HR functions like filtering job applications or monitoring worker performance metrics that impact employment status.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then you have safety critical applications like automated quality control systems for aerospace components or robotics that are managing dangerous areas. And finally, systems governing critical infrastructure like the automated management of energy flow within a plant. If an error in the AI could cause injury, death, or severe discrimination, it's high risk.
So what specifically must a West Midlands manufacturer prepare for to meet that August 2026 deadline for these high-risk systems?
The preparation demands are extensive. Firstly, they must conduct those fundamental rights impact assessments, the FRIAs we mentioned. This is a mandatory, detailed, formal process to analyze how the AI system interacts with and potentially impacts human rights, even indirectly, and it mandates documented mitigating measures. This shifts AI development from a purely technical exercise to a legally and ethically audited process.
And secondly, the Act mandates robust human oversight.
Correct. High-risk AI systems cannot be completely autonomous in their most critical decision-making. There must be established, documented protocols for human review, for intervention, and for override. This requires a whole new layer of user interface and control design on the factory floor, ensuring human operators retain final authority over safety-critical operations.
And finally, the topic that seems to bind all this together, ensuring full data provenance.
Data provenance is absolutely non-negotiable for high-risk systems. Manufacturers must maintain a verifiable audit trail of the data that was used to train the AI model, where it came from, how it was collected, cleaned, validated. This is the only way to demonstrate that the model is free from bias, that it hasn't been trained on compromised data, and therefore that it won't introduce unintended consequences into safety-critical or HR processes.
So the stakes are crystal clear. Compliance is literally the price of entry into the EU market. Ignoring these regulations risks massive fines and a straight-up inability to sell the cutting-edge products coming out of the Silicon Canal. Okay, so we've established the incredible potential of Industry 4.0 and the crushing weight of this new regulatory environment. Now, let's talk about the critical point of friction. The convergence of the Corporate Office Network Information Technology, or IT, and the Factory Floor Network Operational Technology, or OT.
This convergence is the smart factory's greatest systemic challenge. I can't stress that enough. Traditionally, IT and OT were kept separate, often deliberately air-gapped. The IT side handled emails, HR, finance, enterprise resource planning, all that.
The office stuff.
The OT side handled the programmable logic controllers, the PLCs, the machines, the assembly lines. It ran on specialized proprietary protocols. That separation was the security buffer.
But the moment you install smart sensors and connected controllers to feed that real-time optimization data back to the cloud, those two worlds meet.
They become inextricably intertwined. And this convergence creates a complex new attack surface and just exponentially increases compliance complexity. A vulnerability that starts on the seemingly innocuous IT side, let's say a phishing email on the HR network, can now jump that gap and affect the physical production line.
Halting operations,
or worse, allowing for industrial sabotage.
To really understand the specific risks, we have to look at the data itself. Let's start with the immense volumes generated by these IoT data streams.
Think about the scale of it. We're talking about thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of sensors constantly generating highly granular, rapid-fire data points. Temperature, pressure, vibration, motor speed, and crucially, high-fidelity data on worker movement and productivity. The sheer quantity is a management nightmare, but the compliance risk is focused on privacy leakage.
How does that IIoT data create privacy leakage? I mean, isn't it primarily machine telemetry?
You'd think so, but even if the data doesn't explicitly contain a name, the metadata can reveal incredibly sensitive information. For instance, linking machine uptime and productivity metrics to specific worker login IDs, or using location tracking data to map a worker's movements throughout the day.
That's personal data.
That constitutes personal data under GDPR and the DUAA. If it's mishandled, this data can violate privacy laws, or worse, reveal proprietary operational patterns, the secret sauce of how efficiently the manufacturer runs. Compliance teams now need the technical capability to de-identify or pseudonymize this data at the sensor level before it ever even enters the central network.
And this feeds directly into the risks associated with digital twins. These virtual replicas are data hungry and central to optimization.
They are the central nervous system of the smart factory. The security requirement here is extremely acute. We must stress that ensuring the privacy and the integrity of the digital twin schematic is paramount, not only to prevent data breaches, but also to prevent industrial sabotage.
How does compromising a virtual asset lead to physical harm or production failure? That seems like a leap.
It's not as big a leap as you'd think. Let's imagine a scenario where an adversary, maybe a state actor or an industrial competitor, gains access to the digital twin environment. They don't steal it. They subtly alter the underlying production optimization algorithms.
So they corrupt it.
For example, they introduce an optimization flaw that incrementally increases the vibration threshold on a critical piece of machinery, but only under very specific, rare operating conditions. This corruption in the simulation then feeds flawed operational data back to the physical system. The result?
Failure down the line.
Predictable mechanical failures, chronic quality issues, or catastrophic unscheduled downtime, all of it engineered virtually. Protecting the digital twin is therefore a matter of physical resilience.
That distinction is incredibly important. It moves way beyond data theft into a tangible physical threat to the actual operations. Finally, we have the immense governance demands of the AI systems that are operating in these highly sensitive OT environments.
Yes, these systems, The high-speed visual inspection robots, the predictive maintenance systems, they are running the show, often without human hands touching the controls. Their systems require continuous strict data governance. And the need for strict data provenance comes up again here because the consequence of biased or compromised AI training data is severe.
So what happens if the training data is flawed in a predictive maintenance algorithm? What's the real-world impact?
If the AI that predicts machine failure was, for instance, only trained on data collected from machines running one type of material, or only during certain shifts, it will develop a significant blind spot. When the manufacturer introduces a new material or a new operational protocol, the AI's predictions become unreliable. That leads to missed warnings, potential safety incidents, and ultimately millions in lost production. The EU AI Act demands that firms have verifiable provenance to prove their models are trained on representative, clean, and comprehensive data, especially in these safety-critical roles.
So the technical friction is just immense. You've got legacy OT systems that are hard to patch and don't natively support modern security standards. You've got massive volumes of IoT data containing personal information, and you have this convergence point that creates the ultimate new attack surface. So we've established that the challenges are intricate. Complex intersecting laws, vulnerable converging networks, vast quantities of sensitive data. It's crystal clear that navigating this environment requires more than just hiring a single in-house lawyer or one more IT engineer.
You've hit on the core strategic necessity. This is a multidisciplinary problem. It demands integrated technical, legal, and operational expertise. A manufacturer attempting to rely on fragmented advice, where the legal team doesn't really talk to the OT engineers and the IT team doesn't understand the nuances of the DUAA, is just setting themselves up for a major compliance failure or a catastrophic security incident.
Our sources suggest a comprehensive strategy, a model for success. They actually term the power of three approach. And this framework is designed to provide that integrated, holistic resilience that's so necessary to survive in the Silicon Canal ecosystem.
That's right. This approach outlines the three essential, specialized areas of expertise that manufacturers must either establish or acquire to address that regulatory crucible we've discussed. When it's executed properly, it ensures that compliance acts as a force multiplier for business resilience rather than just being a production bottleneck.
Okay, let's break it down. Let's start with the first one, the technical privacy component. This is where the legal requirements get translated directly into code and configuration, right?
Exactly. This team is preventative by nature. Their primary task is conducting rigorous data protection impact assessments, or DPIAs, but tailored specifically for IoT deployments and AI models before they go live. This involves mapping out the flow of data from thousands of sensors, identifying where personal data might be embedded, and then architecting solutions to mitigate those privacy risks from the start.
Can you give us a tangible example of a technical deliverable from this component? What did they actually produce?
Certainly. They are the ones who translate the PSTIX's secure by default mandate into specific technical requirements for the hardware engineers. For instance, they might specify that a new IIoT sensor must default to pseudonymized data transmission and utilize end-to-end encryption. That fulfills the DPIA requirement and satisfies UK GDPR before the machine even leaves the loading dock. They're also the ones ensuring that biometric access logs, which are essential for factory security, are hashed and stored separately from HR records, eliminating that risk of accidental privacy leakage.
And that prepares them for those complex, reasonable, and proportionate DSR responses we talked about.
Exactly.
Okay, so next in the Power 3 is the legal regulatory component. This serves as the intellectual shield, I suppose. Their job is monitoring the complex, overlapping intersection of all these laws we've discussed. DOAA 2025, the EU AI Act, and those ever-present, ever-evolving OEM mandates.
This team provides the regulatory oversight and ensures market stability. Their tasks are intensely focused on preventing business interruption through legal failure. The first key task is ensuring that data processing agreements, or DPAs, with suppliers, cloud vendors, and downstream partners are robust enough to protect the manufacturer's valuable industrial IP.
A standard GDPR DPA focused on customer data just won't cut it.
It won't suffice at all. They need DPAs that specifically define how process optimization algorithms, sensor data, and digital twin outputs are handled. This prevents both litigation and IP espionage.
And their second, and perhaps most commercially critical task, is making the smart factory audit-proof for those Tier 1 partners.
This is the team that holds the keys to continued OEM eligibility. They must ensure that every DPIA, every AI governance procedure, every FRIA, and every single piece of adherence documentation is meticulously documented, cataloged, and instantly auditable. They provide the irrefutable evidence that the entire technical and operational structure is legally sound and meets the incredibly exacting standards set by JLR, Rolls-Royce, and Collins Aerospace. If an audit hits tomorrow, this component provides the immediate compliant response required to maintain that relationship.
And finally, we need the team that ensures all this compliance doesn't become a bottleneck. The team that provides contract-ready compliance that keeps production running smoothly. This is the operations implementation companion.
This team is the crisis manager and the day-to-day executor. A key task for them is managing those complex DSARs for industrial data efficiently. They must have the specific technical and legal protocols in place to filter and provide that high-volume information, CCTV, machine logs, biometric data based on the DOA's new reasonable and proportionate test.
Ensuring the response is timely, but not financially crippling.
Exactly. And when a physical security incident or a breach happens, which sadly is inevitable in such a complex environment, they are the ones who handle the rapid incident response for those critical OT systems.
And that requires specialized expertise.
It does. An OT incident response is fundamentally different from an IT response. It requires knowledge to isolate a compromised machine or sensor, for instance, one hit by targeted ransomware that jumped the IT-OT gap without having to shut down the entire production line or causing physical damage. Their protocols ensure resilience under pressure. And ultimately, this component is the one that facilitates the smooth execution of the supply chain audits. They are the ones who make the manufacturer contract ready.
Our sources clearly outline the efficiency and effectiveness of achieving this integrated expertise through a specific model, utilizing a dedicated outsourced DPO service. Why is that model particularly effective for these agile high-stakes manufacturers in the West Midlands?
Outsourcing the data protection officer and the associated team provides several profound strategic advantages that an internal hire or, you know, a fragmented internal committee simply cannot match in this specialized IT-OT convergence landscape. Firstly, it eliminates conflicts of interest. An internal DPO reports to management and might feel pressure to prioritize production or IT budgets over necessary compliance expenditures. An outsourced DPO operates independently.
So their decisions are based just on compliance and risk.
Solely on legal compliance, risk mitigation, and security best practices.
And the professional support structure seems crucial here as well.
It is. The service provides professional liability protection through a robust service level agreement, an SLA, which shields the manufacturer. It also ensures continuous gap-free coverage. You don't have to worry about your expertise walking out the door or going on holiday during a critical audit. But most importantly, it offers scalable, deep expertise in OT-IT convergence. It delivers that entire Power 3 framework, legal, privacy, and operations ready to mobilize instantly. That integrated capability is what makes the firm verifiable and contract ready for the most demanding OEM audits. It's an investment in resilience. Hashtag outro.
This has been an incredibly detailed deep dive into the future of manufacturing compliance in the West Midlands. We've explored how the dazzling technological promise of the Silicon Canal is intrinsically and really unavoidably linked to this complex regulatory crucible of 2025 and 2026.
Indeed. The West Midlands industrial sector is at a pivotal moment of digital transformation. Strategic embrace of these complexities is what transforms regulatory risk into a profound competitive advantage. Firms that proactively implement these integrated Power of Three frameworks, the ones that master the convergence of IT and OT, are ensuring their innovations are protected, their production is resilient, and their supply chains remain secure.
Let's just quickly recap the critical, memorable takeaways for the learner listening today.
First, pay close attention to the UK Data Act 2025 and that key nuance of the reasonable and proportionate DSR test. This is designed to help manufacturers pragmatically manage high-volume industrial data requests.
Second, the PSTI Act. It makes security by design for all IoT devices mandatory. That means immediately eliminating default passwords and demanding transparent vulnerability reporting channels before the product even ships.
And third, the EU AI Act's extraterritorial reach. It means that if you export or use high-risk AI systems, you absolutely must meet the August 2nd, 2026 deadline. That means implementing fundamental rights impact assessments, FRIAs, and ensuring verifiable data provenance for your models.
We focused heavily today on securing the supply chain and establishing this new minimum standard for resilience. But this entire discussion begs a broader, more forward-looking question about leadership in this new landscape.
It does. We've spent time on how firms must meet the new minimum standard, particularly the mandatory human oversight for high-risk AI systems under the EU AI Act. But if compliance is the minimum, that raises an important question for the firms aiming to truly lead the global market beyond 2026. What unseen layer of ethical innovation will manufacturers need to master next?
What do you mean by that?
Well, we've looked at basic human oversight, the legal requirement. But how will leading West Midlands firms innovate beyond that minimum to build unprecedentedly transparent, understandable, and beneficial AI systems? Ensuring their factory automation isn't just safe, but a gold standard for trustworthiness in the most safety-critical applications globally. That pursuit of going beyond the minimum compliance standard, that's the next great frontier of competitive advantage.
Really compelling thought to finish on. It proves that in the digital age, compliance and cutting-edge innovation are really just two sides of the same coin. Thank you for guiding us through this crucial deep dive.
Always a pleasure.